Blog Talk Radio.
I hope I'm being heard. As I was saying, you listen to Urban Society. I'm your host, James A. Jones. And tonight, my co-host, Martin C., he will not be with me tonight. He has a family emergency. But as you know, the show must go on. So our topics for tonight are going to be a continuation with the Chicago and Baltimore urban violence. And then we're going to have the topic of President Obama visits a federal prison. And then we're going to have the issue with Serena Williams and what's going on with her. Then we're going to have the topic American flag and Confederate flag, both disrespectful to African Americans, question if it is or is not. And with that said, we're going to have our dollhouse announcements.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, the hottest station on the net. We air live 7 days a week with 17 shows hosted by the sexiest hosts. Find out more about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest celebrity and adult entertainment gossip and indie music news on our Hot Sugar blog daily. Dollhouse Radio is home of the indie artists. We play majority indie music and very few major artists. Indie artists, email your music submissions to DollhouseRadioMusic@gmail.com. All music submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promotional photos, and your music in MP3 format. Or purchase one of our promo packages available to you on our website. Businesses and promoters, are you looking to advertise your brand or event on Dialhaus Radio? Please email your inquiries to Head of Promotions at Brian, B-R-I-A-N, DialhausRadio@gmail.com. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Audrey Joelle, Takara, Spliff Star, Griffiths the One, Lone Star J, Feta, and Heroin. Come celebrate 6 years in online radio with us as we turn up for anniversary week, Monday, July 20th through Sunday, July 26th. Enjoy special guests on all of our shows and much more. Don't miss all the tea Hot Sugar is dishing out. Be sure to follow our Hot Sugar Instagram page at IG_HotSugar. Keep up with everything Dialhaus Radio by following us on Twitter at Dialhaus_Radio. And be sure to sign up on our mailing list on the website. And now, back to your program.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morrell's Dialhaus Radio. And just to say, starting tomorrow, Dialhaus Radio will be celebrating its anniversary week. I do believe it's the 5th anniversary, which means that Dialhaus Radio, Indie Morrell's Dialhaus Radio, has been in existence for 5 years. It could be 6. I may not be correct, but if I am incorrect, I'm quite sure that I will be corrected, and then I can put forth the actual amount of years that Dialhaus Radio has been in existence. Okay, I was just told that we have been in existence for 6 years. So, as of tomorrow, we'll be starting our 6-year anniversary. So, shout out to Indy Morrell and the Dialhaus Radio staff. Yes, indeed. So, I want to mention right now, that last topic that we're going to go into, I kind of messed it up, but it's going to be, is the American flag and Confederate flag both disrespectful to African Americans? That is going to be the question. But before we get started, what I want to do also is, I have a thing about, well, poems and poetry. I want to put forth a poem that was written, excuse me, as far back as the 1800s by some person by the name of James Russell Lowell. He wrote this. He said, "Careless seems the great avenger. History's lessons doth record. One doth grapple in the darkness, twixt old systems and the word. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own." I think that poem is appropriate for our first topic, even, concerning the Chicago and Baltimore urban violence. With the Chicago violence, as Mike Holtz and I were speaking about last week, it pertained to the news articles that had been written over that weekend about a weekend of complete, absolute, seemingly chaos there in Chicago. Unlike, I guess they're saying, any other time in our history, but I don't know about if that's true or not. But it was saying something like 16 people had been shot, not necessarily killed, but had been shot over that weekend period. That was the weekend over the 4th of July celebration weekend. They were saying like 16 people had been shot in Chicago. And even concerning that, I mean, as to why stuff like that takes place, that's a question. And I guess the why and the how is there. And then also, we ought to think about, I know I do, I think about, with all of the police presence that's also there in Chicago, and also considering how perhaps the word strategically is not correct, but it may be correct in one sense, but that's not the proper word I'm looking for, but that's the first word that came to mind. But in reference to police and how they do, in fact, police urban areas and over-police urban areas even, it's really a wonder to me as to how such violence can, in fact, occur and no one apprehended or no one is apprehended. It has to be a mystery. And then again, too, I do recall a situation, I think it was with Baltimore even, maybe like 6 months back, maybe a year ago, they were talking about that kind of violence there in that area, Baltimore. And there was some city councilwoman who was saying that she had gotten reports or maybe rumors that police were involved with some of this violence going on, such as, you know, like police infiltration. I know that might sound, what's that phrase, like conspiracy theory wording, but hey, something is going on, and I guess we just don't know exactly what it is. But going back to what I had said previously, and that is like with all of the police presence in urban areas, how really can such violence take place without police awareness, and then too without anyone being apprehended for these acts of violence? I know some people want to say that it's a situation of, you know, black people just being as they are, just being violent, but that's the general statement, number one, because all black people aren't violent, even in urban areas, because consider the urban area is also replete with churches. There's a church basically on every street and or corner and in between streets and corners. So therefore, everybody in urban areas aren't violent. Granted, you do have those who are, but then again, not all. That's something to consider as well. You know, and then again, we have people who talk about, well, it's because blacks have no love for one another, that black people need to, well, the black youth in particular, need to be taught how to respect their elders and then also themselves. I mean, no doubt all these are factors into this situation. There is no one cause for these violent eruptions. And as to what is to be done, that is the question. What is to be done? How can this violence be combated? Well, let me give out our caller number right here. Our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. That's area code 646-595-4038. Call in, and but if you do call in, you must press 1 to talk. If you don't press 1, you'll only be in listening mode. So if you want to talk and join the conversation, do press 1. Because I do, in fact, believe that we should talk about these things. And I'm quite sure that what I'm saying now, this must also be on the minds of many others as well. So, you know, call in. Let us talk about this issue of Chicago, the violence in Chicago, and then again the violence in Baltimore. But also, we are right now just talking about Chicago, or more so, I've only mentioned the situation of Chicago and Baltimore. But let us also consider and remember that there's also California, there's also New York, there's also Missouri. No matter where we are, this situation does in fact persist. And being that it is everywhere, there must be a cause as to why it is everywhere wherein we live. I know just a phrase just popped into my head, the term that's spoken often of concerning black-on-black crime. I mean, really, is that such a term? I mean, it is a term, black-on-black crime, but does it have any real meaning? That's also a question, because when we speak about black-on-black crime, exactly what are we talking about? Are we talking about black-on-black crime, when this phrase is used, is primarily used toward or against urban areas? And again, relating to the violent nature of, well, black people, in essence. So when we talk about black-on-black crime, that is, what are we talking about exactly? What are we referring to? And then again, does that phrase have any real meaning? Okay, I'm keeping an eye on the clock, because we are going to be having our music break coming up at 45 minutes to the hour, or more so 15 minutes to the hour. But anyway, back to the black-on-black crime situation, because as we know, whenever one of these horrendous police killings take place and people are in the streets with the now current phrase, Black Lives Matter. you know, the phrase is really thrown in the face of black people about, well, what about black-on-black crime? You all don't have nothing to say about that? Sure we do. Well, let me put it this way. Sure we have a lot to say about that phrase, but more so, sure we have a lot to say about what takes place in the community where in which we live, because we have to consider these things that do take place in areas wherein we live. We live there. We are affected by these things that take place. So, okay, we're going to come to our first music break, and this is from Jasmine Sullivan, and the tune is called Brand New. So Jasmine Sullivan in Brand New. We'll be right back.
Had a dime for every new with a rap dream. You know the girls will be riding, working two jobs, but the boys at home making mixtapes with a Don't Disturb on the door now. Man, I buy a Jeep dress every Friday, cause I go to every show on the weekend. And I gotta look good when I'm repping up. Yeah, he about to sign a deal. He about to blow. Baby, you whip in the new crew. You rolling with, they don't know you like I do. I swear when you start making money, they start acting funny. It's no love when they come up. They get brand new. They get brand new. This one's for all the baby mamas and the down ass chicks. Remember y'all used to take bathroom pics in the crib, and he said if he ever got rich.
No, I'm dialing your phone, so we both know that I deserve the throne. This ain't fair. Who was there? Who was loving you? Well, baby.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Amarelle's Dollhouse Radio Network. We just heard the song from Jasmine Sullivan entitled Brand New. Earlier I realized I mispronounced that name. I said Jasmine, but it's Jasmine Sullivan. Anyway, so that was her tune entitled Brand New. And we're back. Let me give out our call-in number, area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And when you call in, you must press 1 if you want to talk to, well, me, the host, and or interact with me here on Dollhouse Radio, Urban Society. So you must press 1 to do that, and I'm going to go back into the issue of Chicago and Baltimore urban violence. And as I was lastly saying, the situation or the phrase, because I'm one who don't like labeling it as the situation of black-on-black crime, because in a real sense, that's not our term. That term has been thrown on us by the larger society. And in most cases, whenever someone else is throwing something on you, they're normally talking about it from their perspective, what they see, what they envision. And that's just the way it is. And then again, their vision, their perspective can be seriously skewed. It can be even clouded. And therefore, they don't really see what they think they see. So therefore, I don't like that term, black on black crime and or black on black violence, because I think it's a misterm. Because I'm quite sure if folks from the urban area would give it a name, it wouldn't be that name. Because for one thing, I'm quite sure is that it's known in urban areas, as I do know, being from an urban area, that in a real sense, there are more than just black people who live in urban areas. And sometimes black people may not even be the majority in what's considered to be an urban area. But for some reason, that area is labeled as a black area. But I said that to say concerning the violence that does take place in these areas. A lot of times, I mean, a black person may be killed, but that does not necessarily mean that that black person was killed or maimed by another black person. You have all kind of people in urban areas. It's almost as if an urban area is a stopping point. Is that the right word I got? Stopping point? Transition area. Like, for instance, when I was in the military, when you first go to your first duty assignment, you don't go directly to the unit in which you are going to be assigned. You go to what they call a replacement area, wherein you are there for 2 or 3 days until your paperwork is processed for you to go on to your actual duty assignment where you will be working. So in a real sense, I kind of see urban areas as this type of replacement center. It's not a area wherein people are supposed to be fixed in terms of living in or living at. It's a situation and or a place of transition. Unfortunately, black people, a lot of us, we get stuck in these areas, wherein other people, majority, they are not stuck in those areas. They come there, spend their time there, and they leave there. And now these other people, in fact, they're able to move out into the larger society and even into what's considered white areas. I don't really like using that term, white areas, because it's not their area. Again, even there, it's an area in which they live. But in those areas, it's more so non-black people live in these areas, because at this point in time, not only whites live in these areas, but other people as well, Indians from India, Spanish-speaking people from, let's say, Peru even, Spanish-speaking people from Ecuador. And then again, I won't even say you have some Africans that might live there, because no. The Africans who come here, I mean, even if they are from those islands, Jamaica, Trinidad, Barbados, wherever, even them, they are not really allowed to go in those predominantly white areas. But anyway, going back to what I was saying about urban areas, okay. A lot of the crime that take place there, because it's known that like black people primarily live there, that all this crime that's taking place is attributed, or more so than not, is attributed to black people. And the larger society forgets the fact, or isn't aware of the fact, that more than just black people live in these areas. So that's why, again, the term black-on-black crime is really a misnomer. And again, that goes back into what I said earlier about how people who look in on this predicament this situation. All that they see for some reason is black people. It's almost like they don't see these other people. So therefore, again, as I said, just because a black person may be injured, that doesn't necessarily mean that they were injured by another black person. So hence the term black on black crime, based upon that criteria, is seriously erroneous. And being that it's erroneous even by that criteria, how much more erroneous is it by any other criteria? You know, that's just most interesting. And still, with the situation of the violence in urban areas, it's just horrendous. It's just horrendous, again, how it is there like that and why it is there like that. I mean, doubtlessly, a lot has to do, well, I shouldn't even say a lot, but some has to do with ignorance all around. I mean, in a real sense, the ignorance of those who do commit such acts in urban areas, and then again, the ignorance on the part of those looking in on those acts which are committed. Because as to what it actually is or why it actually is, it's like we don't know why. But in a real sense, the why of it is known. Like a lot of people like to point to lack of education. Well, not even lack of education. That's the wrong phrase there. That comes after a situation. The lack of education primarily is due to lack of proper schooling. In other words, the schools in which people go to in urban areas, they're not given adequate materials in which the students there can work with. So there, that's a problem there, inadequate schooling. You know, and then again, we have the situation of just inadequate living conditions. A whole lot of inadequacy that take place in urban areas. And then one thing that I brought up last week when my co-host Martin C. was here, I had spoken about the city's unwillingness a lot of times to even pick the trash up in these areas. I mean, tax dollars go to the city to pay for this, although granted, I understand that even private companies have come in to supposedly assist the city in this effort. But then it turns out that these private companies are not there to assist the city at all. They are more so there to assist themselves in making money. As to how they do it, I don't know the ins and outs of that, but what I just said is more so true than not true. And then too, if this thing is taking place in an urban area, and the people who really are affected by this are the people who live in urban areas, not those who are contracted to remove the trash, and then too, not even those who are by right, such as the city sanitation department. I mean, it don't really affect them if they do or do not remove trash from urban areas. It does, in fact, affect them in a way, but it does not affect them all the way. It may affect them in the way, or more so, it may affect them in a way if people began to complain about trash not being picked up in their areas, and then too, the people complaining, and if the people are listened to, then it will affect city employees whose job it is to perform that function. But then again, not just the city employees themselves who are to perform this function, but then again to the higher-ups. And then again, the higher-ups, even to the stop-off point of an elected leader and or our elected leaders. You see, so therefore, I mean, in the urban area, things that happen there happen. But at the same time, the way it currently is that everything is, in fact, blamed on the people who live in these urban areas, as if they are as if they are solely responsible, as if no one else has any responsibility about the conditions that exist in urban areas, which is totally ridiculous. Because just to say, I mean, no one exists in a vacuum. We all exist here together. And no one really is, no one really is alone here. I mean, well, just that. I won't go into that because that's going into the esoteric, so to speak, and or maybe the metaphysical and possibly the philosophical. But yes, we are not alone here. I once recall having read some book in my early readings wherein it had said that, but then again, we weren't then using, or more so, I could say we, but more so I'll say the term then wasn't urban areas. It was the ghetto. That was the term used then. It was because of, some might say, political correctness that the term urban area came up. But even the phrase political correctness, there are some issues with that phrase or that word even. But as I was saying, even in terms of the name itself, at one point it was just the ghetto. And concerning in my early readings, what I had read, it had said that white institutions created the ghetto. And white institutions maintain the ghetto. So to flip it to today, it's just as true that racist institutions created urban areas and racist institutions maintain urban areas. It's like it's really like a catch-22 type situation. We find ourselves in these areas, damned if we do, damned if we don't. It's just horrendous, and it's like nobody knows what's really happening. But that's true, but not true, because there are those who do know exactly what's going on, and some who do know do tell. But then again, others who do know, they don't tell. Others who do know, they'd rather chime in with the general, the general theme that it's the people in these urban areas who are responsible for what happens in these urban areas. That's true, but again, only at or on a minimal level, because we're all complicated. I mean, society, our society itself is complicated, well, not complicated, but implicated in the situations and the conditions that transpire in urban areas, from the smallest to the largest, from the murders that take place there. Yes, our society itself is responsible for that. To the inadequate educational situation, yes, our society is responsible for that. Even to the food that we eat and or buy in these areas, yes, our society is responsible for that. So we can't just say that in these urban areas it's just black people who have gone amok, who are running amok, because they're just, well, as it's like to be said, just because, you know, we're animals by nature and don't know how to appreciate or take care of anything. We just don't have it within us, which is what those who created this kind of environment would rather have everyone believe, which just isn't true. That's more so a cover-up, a ruse, so that what is going on can continue going on. And then again, even coming somewhat forward a bit, we can even think in terms of in some areas, in some urban areas, today they have like black elected officials in these areas, as if that's to make a difference. But as we see, that doesn't really make any difference. Because as someone once has said before, the names and faces may change, but the game is still the same. And it's the thing about, well, you have to go along to get along. And now even with, we can apply that Baltimore situation with this, because as we know, But okay, before I go into that thought, I'm going to write that thought down about Baltimore. We're going to go into our second music break, which is five after the hour. So our second music break is five after the hour, and we're going to hear a song from Tokara Hamilton entitled All In. Well, we have a few seconds left before we go there, but as I said, when we come back, well, we have to go there right now. So this is from a song called Tokara Hamilton, from a song, Tokara Hamilton, called All In. So Tokara Hamilton, All In. Here we go. We'll be right back.
Slicks, Amsterdam.com.
All In. You ain't never got a question what it was or what it is. Baby, you're a blessing. You are everything I need and more. You ain't never gotta worry about me loving you. You are all I want. You know I'm all yours. When you're not here, it's like I'm lost with no clue. It's crazy but amazing, I'm so into you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. So baby, let's see if you're
born
to know, if you are
ready for
my love. I got it for you.
You gotta be all in. You wanna be, cause I'm all in.
All in.
Love, you're sure to be with me.
All in. Give you all my love, I got it for you.
All in.
Best in quality beats
I hope
today.
Be forever, forever and another lifetime. What we got is oh so special. You hold the key to my heart, I know. I never gotta worry about you hurting me, hurting me. Trust and loyalty, you give that to me. Can't you see that you're my missing puzzle piece? It's crazy but amazing, I'm so into you. It's like I got the world and you're my private shore. And when we kissing, it's just like a trip of joy. You got me falling, and now I'm all in. I'm riding with you, don't need to think nor hesitate. I know we were perfect, we were meant to be. And when I see the future, I see you and me. So baby, let's see if you're
born
to know, if you are
ready for
my love. I got it for you.
You gotta be all in.
You
wanna be, cause I'm all in.
All in.
Love, you're sure to be with me.
All in. Give you all my love, I got it for you.
All in.
Best in quality beats today.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on India Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. And we just heard the song from Tokara Hamilton entitled All In. That first name is spelled T-O-C-A-R-R-A, Tokara Hamilton, with the song All In. And our caller number here is area code 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. And when you call in, do press 1 if you want to talk. Okay, so I last left off on the situation of urban areas, Chicago in particular, and Baltimore in particular, the urban area there, primarily because these are the two areas that our media chooses to put up front at the moment. Interesting. But anyway, so we're talking about Chicago and Baltimore. And as I left off prior to the song, I was talking about the elected officials who are elected sometimes in areas that are predominantly African-American. And in Baltimore, the situation is that they have a black mayor there, African-American mayor, and they did have a African-American police commissioner. And well, matter of fact, they just have quite a few African-Americans in strategic, there's that word again, strategic, but they do have a lot of African-Americans in high-profile positions. I think that's better to say. They have a lot of African-Americans in Baltimore, as we know, in high-profile positions. And we know this primarily due to the recent situation with the unfortunate police victim there, Freddie Gray. We know the mayor there, she is African-American, and even they have this this prosecutor. She's not the attorney general there. She's just the lead prosecutor for that area, that Marilyn Mosby person. These people are highly visible in that particular city, looking out over that city, supposedly. But again, I mean, stuff that happens in these areas still happen, regardless to who is there, which is an indication that it doesn't matter who is there, especially if the same policies are in play. That's the situation right there. The same policies are in play. The same policies stay in effect. So it doesn't matter if a black face is there, a white face, or a Chinese face. If the policies don't change, the system is going to, well, most of the situation is going to remain the same. And then again, we even see that even with African-Americans in those positions, when things happen, they too decide to make political decisions as to who's going to go and who's going to stay. I'm saying that in reference to the Baltimore situation with the police commissioner who was an African-American. He was released from his position, supposedly because the rioting that took place there, or the unrest that took place there. I mean, common sense could tell anyone that it wasn't primarily his fault, but somebody felt somewhere that it was his fault. It's just interesting. And then this mayor there, she too felt that, well, you got to go. And so therefore, I'm not sure if he resigned or if he was just fired or removed from that position. But the fact is that he's no longer in that position. And also now, just even concerning that particular situation, concerning the mayor of Baltimore and then this particular police commissioner, something I had read was that she actually sought him out to come to fill that position. From what I understand, he was way over out there in California. And I guess because it was felt that he had done such a great job there that he could do just as great of a job there in Baltimore. But I guess after what happened with the Freddie Gray situation, I guess it turned out that some heads had to roll. And his head happened to have been one of those heads that had to roll. It's just outrageous, outrageous, outrageous. But still, nothing is changing. Nothing at all is changing in that area. It's just outrageous. It's just outrageous with that. So, also, concerning still African-Americans being placed in positions of authority, you know, talking about that situation there in Baltimore, I'm reminded of a situation that I read about some time ago that took place in Missouri. I recall having read wherein some black woman there had won an election for mayor in some little town there in Missouri somewhere, And it was said that that the whole police force resigned. Granted, it was also mentioned that there was only about 5 or 6 people on the police force anyway. And the people had said in that area that they never had really seen any of those police people in the area patrolling. But yet, when this black woman won that election, it's like that police force resigned, which you know, can't, which in a real sense, well, in my opinion, I think like this. I think in terms of, you know, was there ever really a police force there? I mean, granted, on paper, it was stated so or represented so that there was a police force there. And then now understand this. If that is the case, that on paper it was represented to be so, that means that somebody there, 6 individuals there, were being sent checks. Yes, checks. Now, if these 6 individuals resigned, and if I'm not mistaken, nobody really knew who these 6 individuals were. Now, if these 6 individuals, resigned, number one, who were they? And then again, number two, if they didn't really exist other than on paper, who got those checks? Who got that money? So it would seem like that it's said that the police force resigned. It would seem like they did that so that that situation wouldn't be discovered or uncovered. But even there, they got up another issue concerning they wanted to recall that mayor's election, which in a real sense tended to get away from the situation of those police people having resigned, who may not have even been in existence in the first place. Oh, it's convoluted. It's convoluted. But again, this was in a rural area there in Missouri. I think it was a rural area. But again, in this area, it was comprised primarily of African Americans. Now, I'm saying that to say that, again, those 6 individuals drawing money from, I guess, the city's account, that money that was going just off or out into the ether, supposedly, could have been better spent providing for the people in that area. But evidently, well, unfortunately, it was not. It just went out into the ether or into whomever pocket it went to. And again, that is a situation in urban areas. Money is actually scammed, fleeced away from these areas. And they wonder why African Americans are so disgruntled. I mean, there are many reasons why African Americans are disgruntled and upset with cause, not without cause, because how many of us really know how much, number one, is taken from us by city officials, by state officials, by government officials? How many of us really know that? And then again, too, how many of us know how much of that is fleeced from us? It's just convoluted and just outright outraging when one comes to think about stuff like that. I guess that's why it's said that in the Bible, it does say in the Bible that with much wisdom is much grief. And it's also said that, you know, he who increases knowledge increases sorrow. Interesting. As if it's better that we are ignorant. As if it's better that we remain ignorant, which I totally disagree with. So, okay, we're going to go on and leave. Well, I'm going to go on and I'm leave this subject here and then go on into our next subject. Well, yes, our next subject, which is President Obama having visited a federal prison earlier in the week. And you know, as for myself, I guess like many other people, we wonder what's that all about? Why do that? What's it supposed to accomplish? What? Is it just symbolism? Is it just something for him to have done? Well, who knows? But people, they say, according to this article, that it's something to do with reforming or an attempt to begin to reform the criminal justice system. The criminal justice system. Like I said before, that is exactly what it is, a criminal justice system. A justice system that is evidently run by criminals. That is, in fact, what it does seem like to me. Because there is no justice. I guess that's why it probably was Al Sharpton who came forth with the slogan, "No justice, no peace." And in a real sense, that's, well, I guess, you know, that's the way it's supposed to be. If there's no justice, well, it really shouldn't be no peace. But that's only for those who are aware of the lack of justice and those who are concerned about the lack of justice. So going back to the beginning of what I was saying, this issue is about President Obama having visited a federal prison just earlier in the week. And one thing that I wonder about is neither really here nor there, but just as him having visited this prison is really neither here nor there either. You know, but one thing that I wonder about is why did it have to be a federal prison? Why couldn't it have been a state prison? But I guess, you know, some who do know, because I don't know, some who do know might say that being that he is really, you know, with the federal, he's at the federal level, I guess therefore it had to be a federal prison that he had to go to, if any. But then again, I mean, he's the president of the United States. So if he wanted to go to a state prison, I can't see why he couldn't have just as well gone to a state prison. So, I mean, why a federal prison? Somebody who know might want to call in and express that to those of us who are listening, as well as to myself, because I'd like to know the answer to that. Yes, I would. That is, if there's an answer to be known about that. So anyway, I have this article here, and it says that during an historic visit to a federal prison in Oklahoma, President Barack Obama said that young people are prone to make mistakes and that the criminal justice system needs to determine how to better deal with and reform them. So, I mean, that's not new news. I mean, like, who didn't know that young people are prone to make mistakes? It's like, you know, that's new news to somebody. But that's what he said. Then it goes further to say that Obama made the comments at El Reno Federal Prison. That's the name of this prison, El Reno Federal Prison, where he met with six inmates and prison officials as part of a Vice special to be aired this fall on HBO. Who knows? Maybe that's why he went there, because maybe even in the beginning, initially, this Vice special maybe came to him with the idea. I mean, not that it means anything, as I was asking initially, what might it actually mean that he's going to visit this federal or this prison primarily? And now we know, based upon this article, that HBO is going to have some special that's going to be aired in the fall entitled Vice. I mean, in a real sense, I mean, just, you know, because in a real sense, words mean something. And I'm saying that to ask, why would this HBO special be termed Vice? if it's primarily supposedly to be dealing with the issue of criminal justice reform. And in this sense, I guess he's more so talking about prison reform, although that isn't what exactly is said. He's talking about criminal justice reform, but I guess prison reform, I guess somewhere prison reform falls within criminal justice reform, maybe. But then again, you have those who can talk inside of an issue and just separate issues to make it mean not that at all, that this is a separate issue. But again, that's just the way it is. Okay, we are coming up on our third break, and 25 after the hour it is, and this is from a song from Lone Star J entitled Next Level. So this is Lone Star J with his song Next Level, and we'll be right back.
I heard them niggas talking, they ain't tripping, they just hating on me, fuck with Davey Young. I know them niggas plotting on me, they don't wanna see me make it, rather see me come.
You know them niggas hating when they all up in your face, cause they ain't making what you making it all. You know them niggas hating when you all up on these bitches, and these bitches just taking it out.
I be on the next level shit, I be on the next level shit. I be on that next level shit. I be on that next level shit. I be on that next level shit. Fuck with baby, I don't got a money making beats, and she gon' bring it on. That's that next level shit. I be on that next level shit. Yeah, you niggas know about me since you snitching on me. Tell your girl about me, the hottest nigga under the sun. Tell the world about me, I'ma be good in a minute. Tell them don't worry about me. Them haters want me to fail, now my friends doubt me. You niggas saying you the hottest, but I can't tell. It's no answer for this young nigga voicemail. And I'ma fuck the game, they say sex sells. My girl fly, pretty wings, no Maxwell. It's Lone Star, the hottest ever, nobody better. The flow cold, you gon' need your jacket and your sweater. Pick a letter, I'm a G till I D-I-E. Not a bad boy, but a nigga doing B-I-G.
I heard them niggas talking, they ain't tripping, they just hating on me, fuck with Davey Young. I know them niggas plotting on me, they don't wanna see me make it, rather see me gone.
You know them niggas hating when they all up in your face, cause they ain't making what you making it all. You know them niggas hating when you all up on these bitches, and these bitches just taking it out.
I be on that next level shit. 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 Fuck with baby, I don't got the money making bitch, and she gon' bring it home. That's that next level shit. I be on that next level shit. Waking up to the money, I never slept better. Feel like if you got money, pussy a little wetter. Never complain about the rain, I ball in any weather. Mama said never look down, just keep your head up, son. Well, I listen, plus you always seem to mention when I start getting these riches, these niggas would get to switching on me. Damn, these niggas came up missing on me. Now they can't see me without supervision or permission on me. I'm on the road to success without a map. Guess I find my own way, eyes open for the trap. You can rush me if you want, I'm blocking you going south. You can diss me if you want, I ain't sending no warning back.
I heard them niggas talking, they ain't tripping, they just hating on me, fuck with Davey Young. I know them niggas plotting on me, they don't wanna see me make it, rather see me come.
You know them niggas hating when they all up in your face, cause they ain't making what you making it all. You know them niggas hating when you all up on these bitches, and these bitches just taking it out.
I be on that next level shit. 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 Fuck with baby, I don't got a money making bitch, and she gon' bring it home. That's that next level shit. I be on that next level shit.
Okay, welcome back to Urban Society here on Indie Morrell's Dollhouse Radio. excuse me. We just heard the song from Lone Star J entitled Next Level. Next Level. That was Lone Star J, Next Level. And you can call in to us here at Dollhouse Radio at 646-595-4038. Again, that's area code 646-595-4038. Call in and express your opinion concerning what's being discussed here. Okay, so right now we're on the air. We're on the issue of President Obama visits a federal prison, and as I had read, I'm going to read something else here now. It says here in this article that the visit was the first by a sitting president, and it seems like throughout the week much was spoken of concerning the first prison to be visited by a sitting president. Well, anyway, it says the correcting facility. Let me get this right. It says, okay, the visit was the first by a sitting president to a federal correctional facility and came amid a week of actions and events highlighting the inequities of a system that he said disproportionately affects minority communities and is costing taxpayers too much, while rehabilitation rates for prisoners remain too low. You know, well, even concerning that, I mean, there are issues even in that. Because first off, you have our elected leaders who came forth with this system of imprisonment. And then again, also with this system of imprisonment, you have the issue of what are the prisoners to do in these institutions. Some believe that, you know, they should be given training to reenter society. But, you know, some are even against that. They say these are prisoners, these are criminals, these are people who have, you know, turned their backs on society, have flaunted the rules and laws and the propriety of society. Why give these people any benefits? Why give them anything at all? And then you have those who just feel that let them sit in there and rot. But that's not correct, because whatever, that person is still a human being. I mean, there's no telling what may have happened that caused this person to be in this predicament, but there he or she is. And there are many women who are in prison also. We ought not forget that fact. And then the article goes on to say that at the medium security prison for nonviolent male offenders, Obama met with six inmates. He said the men's stories and the mistakes they made were not dissimilar to those the president made in his own youth, when he admittedly smoked pot and took cocaine. So in this sense also, they're talking primarily about, you know, non-violent offenders who are in prison. And in more cases than not, when they speak of non-violent offenders, they're more so talking about, well, right now they're more so talking about those who are in this situation because of drugs, be it marijuana or be it cocaine, powder and or crack cocaine. But nevertheless, here they are in this situation because of these drug offenses. And this is more so right now what this issue of prison reform is centered around. You know, the unfairness of the laws that put people in prison because of drug selling and or drug use, as opposed to, you know, those who I'll say more so than not belong in prison. I mean, I'm talking about, you know, these people, guys who just run around raping women. These guys belong in prison. They belong somewhere, not amongst us out here. And then, you know, you have those people who just don't mind murdering somebody or just don't mind, you know, hurting people. These people, I guess, they belong in that type of environment. So as I'm saying, as it's being said, this is what this issue of criminal justice reform is centered around. They're also talking about, you know, the nonviolent offenders, which is a big difference than the actual people who perpetuate heinous acts that are crimes and can be penalized in a criminal court that handle criminal offenses. Better said like that. So supposedly this is the reason why that Obama has gone to this prison to, I guess, bring spotlight to this issue of criminal justice reform. But again, I mean, in a real sense, he's going to the wrong place. Because the criminals can't do anything to change the laws. That's not where the law was made, put forward. The law was made where he left, or where he was, there in Washington, D.C., in the same environment in which he lives, where the White House is situated. The House of Representatives, there in Washington, D.C. The Senate, there in Washington, D.C. That's where he should be, not in some prison. But I guess people like to talk about optics, you know, the visual aspect of the situation. They like to talk about that, but again, what does it mean? I mean, if you don't already know the issue, and if you're just shown an aspect of the issue that's being talked about, what do you know? You know what you see, but then again, what do you get for what you see? Can any interpretations be made from that? Or do we then have those who are showing us what they're showing us? Do we have their interpretation as to what we're seeing? It just doesn't make sense. But again, I guess, you know, optics and or symbolism. Because for a long time now, people have been talking about criminal justice reform. Okay, I'm notified that we have a caller, and we have a caller from 918-576. So 918-576. You're on the air. So let's hear what you have to say. Speak up.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm from Oklahoma, and we are number one in the world for female incarceration. I believe that's partly the reason why he chose Oklahoma to come to. We've had a number of human rights violations. I'm with a group called We the People Oklahoma, and I don't know if you heard of the Eric Harris murder. April 2nd of this year, did you hear that, sir?
No.
That is the gentleman that was shot in the back on the street as he was laying on his stomach by a reserve deputy, which is a volunteer deputy.
The issue. I'm aware of the issue, but wasn't aware of the name exactly because there have been
right.
So many. But okay.
Oh, I know. That's why I was asking, have you heard? And then you have to explain which one it is. And we wanted to have the sheriff investigated and that reserve deputy program investigated within the Tulsa Sheriff Department. And all citizens have access to the grand jury petitions. It differs from state to state. And we did that in our state with our group, grassroots group, not a lot of money. But the sheriff fought us. You know, he didn't want to be investigated, of course.
No doubt.
It took us all the way this past Tuesday to state Supreme Court chambers, where he promptly lost on Thursday a decision 8-1 in our favor, and the one not voting, so unanimous, basically. And tomorrow starts the grand jury, the people that they're going to select for the grand jury. This is monumental, because if we can do that here in Tulsa, a historically racist society in Tulsa,
mm-hmm.
It can be done anywhere. You know, the grand jury petition or process can be done anywhere, and it will differ from state to state on the what's required that you have to accomplish to do this. But I am so excited and full of hope, and, you know, just to get to this point with such hard work, he hired 7 attorneys from 7 different firms, and he paid that with taxpayer money.
No doubt.
So I was so happy that the president came to Oklahoma. You know, there were so many racists and waving the Confederate flag, and, you know, the Klan came out to meet him in Durant, Oklahoma, where he had landed.
Yeah, but matter of fact, I have seen some of those pictures of some area wherein the president had went, and then he was greeted with Confederate flags. So that was there in Oklahoma.
That was there in Oklahoma. It was that hope that they would, that the president would have a motorcade and have to drive by it. But as fate would have it, he had a helicopter. He's just too smooth for them.
Well, no doubt that was no doubt safer. No doubt. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of excitement in Oklahoma. Things are happening and moving. And this Saturday, I'm a Democratic state delegate for the Oklahoma Democratic State Convention. We'll be deciding on to allow independent people to vote in our primaries, because historically they do vote Democratic, and they should have a voice in who our candidates are. So a lot of good things happening. The Democratic Party's coming back to life in Oklahoma. We're down to 3 counties. The last 2 elections, not one district voted for Obama. It's a difficult state to be a Democrat in. Difficult. But I was just so happy that you were talking about the visit to the penitentiary. I think that's going to be one of the groundbreaking things that he does, if he does the reform. Our public penitentiary or our prison system was formed in 1907. And Horace Mann is the one who founded our public school system that we have. 1907. There were very many similarities in the two, and I think people need to take a look at that. When they look at our penitentiaries, they should also look at our public schools. There is a problem, and it needs to be fixed. I'm not for sure how, but I know it needs to be fixed.
Well, that's what I've been saying throughout the show. The problems that we find in our society, we don't know exactly you know what we really need to do, but we all do in fact know that we need to do something. That is a truism. So I'm going to thank you for your call. And what was your name again?
Thank you for having me. My name's Angela, and I'm with the We the People Oklahoma, not of Oklahoma, but We the People Oklahoma. We have a Facebook page, and we have a website called Glanz, G-L-A-N-Z, Gotta Go, with 2 T's on the Gotta. Our sheriff, his last name is Glanz.
Okay,
GlanzGottaGo.com, if you want to keep up with what's happening.
I'll definitely make sure that I connect with your Facebook page. I'm on Facebook as well. I'm James,
great.
By the way.
Great show, by the way. I've listened to it before.
Okay, great.
The first time I called in.
So continue listening to it, and we expect you to call back some more. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. That was Angela we just had on the line, giving her insights onto what has transpired with what has transpired there in Oklahoma, and like she has given us an update also on that situation with that guy who was shot by that off-duty cop, but that auxiliary cop who had, after he done that, went on vacation. That was some good insightful information information that she had put forth there, because it's like these things happen, and then the media covers them for a minute, and then next thing we know, they're onto something different. So it's good to know that things are moving along down there in Oklahoma. That was good. Thank you, Angela, for that. So also now concerning this situation with the criminal justice system, it's also known that President Clinton was also speaking last week about this situation, and he also had admitted, I guess in terms of an apology, that he was instrumental in bringing forth these laws with his administration. And I mean it's kind of late to say sorry now. I mean, it's just that. I mean, sorry don't cut it. You have people who have languished because of his policy in a prison cell for more than a decade, and they're still there. So in a real sense, an apology don't cut it. But it's good that but see, me, I'm still thinking that with Obama going there right now, it seemed to be more symbolic than anything else. But then again, it's still good that light is being shed on this issue. How far it will go, well, more so how far the light will penetrate the darkness, that's to be seen. I guess I said that well. How far the light will penetrate the darkness, that's to be seen. But let us hope it penetrates it enough wherein all of this thing will be exposed, and exposed to the point wherein the people just won't stand it anymore. Not just the people, but then again, our elected officials also won't be able to stand it anymore. Okay, so with that, we're going to move right along to our next issue. But then again, no, I had said earlier that that I was going to bring up the Serena Williams issue. But then again, there's another woman that also that has come to the brain or is in the mind, and that's that Sandra Bland woman. You know, the woman who has supposedly committed suicide there in a Texas jail cell. And the way information is coming forth, it's like people who knew her don't believe that she would do something like that. But yet it's like it said, matter of fact, I have the article here, and it even says, all right, let's kind of like go to the beginning there. Okay, it said that she had been first off spotted by a police officer, and then stopped by the police officer because she made a wrong turn or wrong signal, you know, the flashing signals. I guess maybe the right one was on when the left one should have been on. It was like that. And based upon that, she was pulled over, and things just went haywire from there. It's not really known what did happen, but it is known that she was evidently drugged from the vehicle. That's known. Well, not just taken from the vehicle, not just axed to get out of the vehicle, as that murderer in South Carolina was cordially axed to get out of his vehicle. Not like that. She was evidently snatched out of her vehicle by a man, a woman, a young woman, manhandled like that. And then we were shown by video how that cop had her down in the grass, way away from her vehicle. So I guess he dragged her from the vehicle over into a grassy area, as if he's planning to rape her or something. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? Who really knows why he did what he did? But that's not the issue. But anyway, the issue is what happened. And then it turns out that she ends up in jail because it said that she assaulted, you know, the police officer. I guess resisted arrest or something like that. And then she ends up in jail. And the way the story goes, all right, straight to the point, it ends up that she, according to police officials, she hanged herself in a jail cell. And so now this is where we are with this story. And then also, according to this article, it says that Sandra Bland, that's her name, tried to post bail before allegedly committing suicide. It said that she called a bondsman before she turned up dead in a Texas jail cell, and also spoke of, well, that's another issue there. It speaks about how she spoke of depression and PTSD. PTSD, for you all who don't know, is post-traumatic stress disorder. And it says further here that the bail bondsman, whose name was Joe Booker, he says that I talked to her when she first went to jail. I called her mother for her. And then it also says that this guy Booker then hung up. He was talking to somebody from a newspaper, the Daily Beast. It says then that Booker then hung up and didn't respond to further requests for comments. And it says further that it would have cost friends or family $500 to bail Sandra Bland out of jail. And then the question remains is why she would take her life. Apparently, let me get this straight. It says why she would take her life after apparently working with Booker to secure her freedom is one of many questions surrounding her death. And then as we know, it was also put out by the police about her arrest record. And many people wonder, you know, why would that come out? What's the purpose of, you know, putting out the fact that, if it is a fact, putting out information that she had been arrested previously? And then go on into details as to why she was arrested, and again, how many times she was arrested, and stuff like that. It seems like, you know, they're trying to tarnish her image. You know, she's dead, but yet they want to tarnish her image. And the only question is, why would they want to do that? Are they trying to, you know, bring up her image, tarnish it, so as we won't see their image as to what they may have done? It's just interesting that this has taken place. And then also it says that when at some point during the situation with her there on the ground and the cop on her, as he was, it was said that she said that I can't even feel my arms. It said that she says I can't even feel my fucking arms. And then she also said that, you know, you just slammed my head into the ground. Do you not even care about that? I can't even hear now. I recall having seen the video, and I did hear her say those words like that. But again, the cop didn't care. He just maltreated her like that. And then also in this article, it also speaks about how she was found in her cell. Let me read that part. It has said that Bland's body was hanging by unspecified means. Now, check that out. I mean, what meaning can we apply to that statement, that Bland's body was hanging by unspecified means? Supposedly, they go on to say this in terms of clarifying. Police said she did not have shoelaces or a blanket in her cell. But so therefore, again, going back to the situation of her body was found hanging by unspecified means. I mean, what does that mean? But again, they don't want to talk about that. They'd rather talk about how she had prior arrest records. But also something that many people do find interesting is the fact that she is on Facebook often. And I guess she has made a few YouTube videos. And in a video that I have seen that she had made that has come out now, I was never a friend of hers on Facebook, hadn't even known about her until this incident, unfortunately. Both are unfortunate that I hadn't known about her and this incident had happened, both unfortunate. But it turns out that she is also involved with the Black Lives Matter movement. And has said some things in reference to the Black Lives Matter, I guess, philosophy. Interesting. And then now this, which might kind of, you know, let us know, because a lot of people do wonder sometimes, or a lot of my Facebook friends, we do wonder if what we say is being monitored per our Facebook statuses by what we say on Facebook. So evidently, well, maybe not evidently, maybe this may be sounding conspiratorial, but maybe it's some things that she had said. And being down there in Texas, where the Confederate flag is gloriously flown, you know, by police personnel, I shouldn't say by police personnel themselves, as if I do know that. No, I don't know that. But down there in Texas, we can very well imagine part of the former Confederacy, and a lot of times they think they are still in the Confederacy. Anyway, this Sarah Bland, something that that she has said in one of her, either her Facebook posts or maybe on her video, she said that what I need you guys to understand is that being a black person in America is very, very hard. That's what she said, that being a black person in America is very, very hard. You know, in a sense, I somewhat think more nuanced with that, because matter of fact, someone had once said to me that it must be hard being black. Someone has said that to me. It happened to have been a woman, matter of fact. I won't go into all of the details as to how her and I happened to have been in that particular conversation, but she said that to me, that it must be hard being black. And I heard that phrase, and I just responded to her. I spoke back to her. I told her, no, it's not hard being black. It's just that others make it hard being black. because that's just the way it is. I mean, life itself is simple. I mean, even going there like that. Life itself is simple. There's people in life that make it hard. So therefore, I would disagree with Sandra on that, but then again, that's how she saw it. But I guess maybe I see the bigger picture. It's not hard being a black person in this country. Not at all. It's not hard or difficult being a black person anywhere. But it's just that anywhere, other people make it hard for black people. That's how that situation goes. Okay, so I'm going to leave that because also I wanted to go into the issue of the American flag and Confederate flag. All right, such as, well, most of the question is the American flag and Confederate flag both disrespectful to African Americans? You know, a lot of people on Facebook, they like to weigh in on this theme and say that that they both are disrespectful to black people. I would say the Confederate flag, most definitely. But the American flag, there are a lot of, well, the actual official American flag, there are a lot of nuances to that. Because one nuanced situation is that basically it was the American flag that black slave or black Union troops fought under. We fought under that flag at that point in time in which the Civil War was occurring. And we fought, I'm talking about we in the sense of black people, fought against that Confederate flag under the Stars and Stripes, under the American flag. Granted, I mean, no doubt before the Confederacy evolved and picked up their own flag, granted, the American flag held sway over the whole of the United States. Well, matter of fact, Frederick Douglass even said concerning the American flag that wherever the American flag is, man is not free, or no, more so, black life isn't free. Wherever these go, meaning the American flag, and he also mentioned Christianity too, Frederick Douglass did. He has said that wherever the American flag and Christianity go, the black man or black life is in trouble. Black life is not sacred. So again, I mean, that was with the American flag then. But then as time went along, again, it was the American flag that sought to restrict slavery right where it was. And it was the Southerners with their Confederate flag who wanted to extend slavery outside of the boundaries in which it was, and hence the Civil War. So that's why I'm one of the American flag. I mean, I don't disrespect it as I do the Confederate flag. I'm one who wouldn't just trample with my feet over the American flag, the Stars and Stripes. But the Confederate flag, oh, man, I'd burn that motherfucker UP. I'd burn it up right in front of some racist cracker. Yes, I would. and laugh at him. Because what are you going to do, put his hand on me? I wish he would, or her. But that's another issue there. But again, I mean, and even the Constitution, well, that's going elsewhere. But still, the American flag, unlike a lot of my friends on Facebook, I don't see it in the severity in which they see it. But I do see the Confederate flag in all of its severity, all of it. And besides that, okay, I got like 90 seconds left. And besides that, I will say that even my own Americanism, I wasn't really aware of how much an American I was until I had left this country. And it was by having left this country that I found out, really, how much of an American I was. And that's why I know, and I'm proud of the fact that I'm an American. Because if I'm not an American, who am I? I can't claim Africa. If so, where in Africa? I don't know. But America, I'm an American. Where am I from? North Carolina. That's my birth state. I can claim these areas. This is all I know. So we are about ready to end the show. I was told we have about 90 seconds left, and even saying what I had said, that wilt it down sometime. So with that having been said, I really had wanted to go more into the American flag versus the Confederate flag, and had wished that some of my Facebook friends would have called in to put forth their viewpoints on either or. So with that being said, I'm going to say this is Urban Society signing off, and we will see us next week. In the meantime, happy anniversary to Dollhouse Radio, Indy Morrell and Dollhouse Radio, and all the staff. With that said, Urban Society signing off.
Look. I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed. Straight up. Look, I live the life I deserve. Blessed. Fuck a vacay, I feel better at work. I mean whatever it's worth, I give whatever I'm worth. For my niggas who gon' go to hell and back for me, I'ma give them heaven on earth for a hell of a check, yeah, whichever come first. Blessings on blessings on blessings. Look at my life, man, that's lessons on lessons on lessons. I treat the beat like it's a reverend. I tell the truth like, Father, forgive me, these are all my confessions. Man, this wasn't luck, it was destined. I done lost homies who been with me since Ed, Ed, and Eddie, who flip like confetti. And then when you back, they back to call you dog. That shit can get petty. Bitch, don't get no dap to me, nigga. Funny thing about talking behind my back is that it just keep coming back to me, nigga. Was off for a sec, now it's back to me, nigga. You mad at me, this ain't what I want, man. This what it had to be. This is LA, not working after three, man. This is why my old girl was mad at me. This why I'm your majesty, man. The click is the tightest, the pussy the tightest. The drinks are the coldest, the future the brightest. The feet not divided, the love is divided. And I just got it, thank God that we got it. Bless. I don't know what I would do without a crew. Look like we robbed a bank, but all we make is deposits. Your profit with profit, oh God. I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I feel
blessed. I ain't gon' say that we back or nothing, cause that implies that we're back from something. If we're back from something, it's some checks you owe us. I expect that payment, nothing left or over. I don't need them favors that you asked me for. I could give two fucks about where the Grammys go. I just gave out Grammys on my Instagram. Them OVO boys the business, man.
It is what it is. Trust me, you get what you give. Yeah. You gotta come to my side and see how we live. Yeah. I cannot see heaven being much better than this. Yeah. Blessings on blessings for me and my niggas from the six. Look at what we did. Yeah. Be quiet, I'm doing a toast. For niggas that don't really do shit, I swear I'll be doing the most. Stop worrying about whoever's next. I am just worried about my mama worrying less. I think I'm famous enough. I don't need any more press. I am convinced I'm the only one left that's still doing this shit, man. I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I feel blessed.
My grandma just died, I'm the man of the house. So every morning I'm up cause I can't let him down. Always down for the cause, never down for the count. I guess when your stars align, you do like the solar system and plan it out. So I'm going overtime on the overtime. Yeah, I'm not invested, but you can't attest it. $1 million goals, man, it's manifested. The family never going anorexic. I pay my mortgage and electric. Never going under, even with anesthetics. At the top of the rap game and progressing. Check after check, checking off my checklist. Try and blow my cake, just know that's a death wish. No mistakes, no life ever, it's only lessons. Shit feel like Shaq and Penny got back together. You tore the game apart, who put it back together?
I'm here for a good time, not a long time, you know, I haven't had a good time in a long time, you know, I'm way up, I feel blessed. Way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
I'm way up, I feel blessed.
Straight up.
Way up, I feel blessed.